We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello and welcome into another Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan. I am Diddy, your host for the next 3 hours, joined as always by the one and only Lonzo, staring confused at a list of cuts.
I figured it out. I put some random thing in there. I don't know. Yeah, I'm on vacation, man.
Yeah, play the random thing when I ask for it. It could be fun, though. That's where you have fun with live radio. You see what happens. Fly by the seat of your pants, right? That's what we do here.
Yeah, I'm good with that as long as someone down the hall isn't listening. What the crap is that? What are you doing? I don't know.
Just wait. If you want, I can lead with baseball, and he'll turn the channel probably. So that could work for us.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. If we're talking about the same person, he is a very big fan of baseball. So, yeah.
I can trash the Royals, and that can get him to.
I think you should start the show by dogging Iowa and everything about it.
Oh, geez.
Because you'll take care of two people at once, and we'll see who marches into the room first.
I've heard Iowa's a great place. I'm going to say it's wonderful and move into football, right?
Corn-fed boys. They're not very smart, but they know how to hit people in front of them.
They do. They're great at pushing weight, just pushing big guys out of the way. Football Friday bonanza here on Offsides. Huge games coming up this weekend. None more important to the upstate of South Carolina than the playoff battle between the rivals, the Burns Rebels, the Gaffney Indians. We'll talk to the voice of the Rebels, Cole Bryson, about this huge playoff tilt that is tonight. Well, he's coming on at 2:20. The game itself can be heard right here on ESPN Upstate this evening with coverage beginning at 7 p.m. Huge matchup. That one's monstrous. Like, I am not the biggest high school football guy, and I'm definitely not too invested in it in this market because I went to a school that's not very good at football overall. We haven't had overall success or any championships, and that's Malden. So it's tough for me to really get stoked for football in high school level because of that. But when you see this coming up on a playoff matchup, Gaffney Burns, wow.
Not only is it a big game, but they don't like each other.
They
that
hate
makes it
each
even
other.
Better.
Yeah, and Gaffney's probably a little bit salty. They got blown out at home at the reservation earlier
this
season.
Which was not supposed to happen. No. Everyone was calling for a close game, and it didn't happen that way. So, yeah.
I feel like a lot of the things I saw were expecting Gaffney to beat them. Like, this was a down year for Burns. They're going to drop one to Gaffney, probably one to Dorman, and it only happened to be one of those. So it'll be interesting. And the big thing here is if Dorman takes care of Clover, winner of this plays Dorman, another huge Spartanburg rivalry to go into the upper state championship next week. So we'll get all the information around that game and everything in high school playoff football from Cole Bryson. And again, he'll be on the call tonight here on ESPN Upstate. Last night, a NFL game that is not taking place near us, but involves people from right here that we all know and love so well. Some former Clemson legends making statements last night in the NFL. Deshaun Watson, Nuke Hopkins. The Texans defeat the Colts 20-17 on Thursday Night Football, putting the Texans in first place in the AFC South. But, of course, with the NFL and with 2019 and everything we know about this league now, it doesn't come without controversy. There's questions, there's controversies, there's anger, there's questionable calls, and we have what looked to be a possible fumble by Deshaun Watson, ball knocked out by Darius Leonard of the Colts. In the replay, to me, it's tough to see who really has it going down. You can definitely kind of argue that it looks like it's going into Leonard's arms, but it's like a mess of arms with a football in between, and then they all just kind of fall on top of each other. So it's tough to really say what could have happened in that pile and what you know, happened with the ball, who came up with the ball. The NFL tweets out there was no clear evidence of a visual evidence of a recovery, so they didn't call for the replay of the play. But it did kind of appear that the ref initially was just saying he was down. Obviously, the ball was out. If you watch the replay, he was not down. And then later, they kind of seemed to be implying that they, you know, thought that Deshaun had the ball and were told it's not going to be reviewed. So it's tough to really go against the NFL in this one. even though you can definitely argue that it looked like it should have been going into the Colts' hands, and who knows, you know, 2017, Colts have the ball, you can turn that thing around, and maybe the Colts can get a last-second victory there. But in the end, it goes the Texans' way. Our former Clemson guys, Nuke Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, get another win. Hopkins has a huge night, 2 touchdowns, giving the ball to his mother, local legend Sabrina Greenlee, after each touchdown. Really cool thing to see there. Love their story. But you know, people are going to be mad about it. People are going to be questioning it, because that's just the nature of this now as fans of the NFL, fans of any sport, because we can have so many close looks at so many things and we can nitpick every little thing. But, you know, I don't know about you, Lonzo. I think that this was pretty clear cut that the NFL, even if they said, hey, look at it, they weren't going to overturn this.
And they rarely will do this. And this is one of those games, you know, I watched a good portion of the first half, and the first half was boring. It wasn't a defensive matchup. You know, a lot of people, two defenses. No, the football wasn't very good in the first half. But then it got better in the second half.
Yeah.
You got to see the adjustments that they made. And the people who said that Indianapolis would be okay were right. I mean, that was a good game, and I could see them coming back and still making the playoffs possibly.
Yeah, and they're only a game behind the Texans right now.
Jacoby Brissett is not really as bad as I thought he was.
No, he isn't. And you had to, I mean, I feel like you had to expect him to be better than a lot of expectations for a lot of reasons. We saw, you know, and this kind of brings us into the Gamecock conversation almost because of the Muschamp tie. I mean, he didn't get a chance with Muschamp. Driscoll gets the shot. Brissett ends up transferring out. He ends up at NC State, plays well, and then ends up in the pros. He backs up Tom Brady, gets a rare shot. You never would have thought you'd see this guy play in a Patriots uniform in any meaningful football. But then Brady gets suspended. Garoppolo gets hurt in the second game starting against the Dolphins. And here comes Jacoby Brissett, shows himself to be a serviceable guy, a guy who can get the job done. And really, he's excelled past that out in Indianapolis now. And they're, you know, a much better team with him on the field than they are with him off the field. And he's no Andrew Luck yet. But I feel like if they work with him and find a way to make this system and this offense work around the way he plays football, he could be a really stellar guy. And with the talent they have on that team, they could make some waves, especially in the AFC South. That's so topsy-turvy. Some of these teams go from being great to being the worst teams in the league from one year to the next. So any consistency at the quarterback position keeps the Colts in this thing. And again, everybody thought they were a Super Bowl team. As much as a quarterback is a big deal. Sorry, that's my computer yelling at us. As much as a quarterback is a big deal to the offense, you know, it's still that talented of a team around that position. So if you thought it was Super Bowl caliber coming into the season, you've got to still think they're good, and they're definitely a playoff caliber football team.
I hate to go off somewhere else, but I'm going to because I'm on vacation. I've noticed something 2 days in a row that you've managed to put Patriots praise in a story, subtly, sneakily, underneath, 2 days in a row, you've managed to do that. So what you're saying is Jacoby Brissett has done a good job thanks to the Patriots.
Well, I'm saying he learned from Bill Belichick. He learned underneath Tom Brady. He learned, you know, how to run an offense being called by McDaniels. These are successful people who have done it at the highest level possible. So getting that tutelage, and he showed us what he was capable of when he was finally given a shot in college. He wasn't given a shot in Gainesville, so we didn't know what to expect, and everybody just assumed, oh, he probably sucks because he got beat out by Driscoll, who obviously is terrible right now when we watch him play. But then Driscoll was really good when he left Florida, too. And I think that's just more of a indictment on Muschamp, and we talk about that at length already, and we'll probably get into it later. Quarterbacks just don't seem to play well when Muschamp is the head coach of a college football team. But Brissett has shown the ability, and I think he's doing well.
He has. I got to admit that I just came at you right there because Mark Ryan didn't think I would do it, and he might possibly be listening right now. And, you know, we haven't mentioned that, in case people don't know, he had successful surgery yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And I texted with him last night, and he seems to be his goofy self. So he's all right. He could be listening right now, you know, and I want him to know that that you weren't thinking of him, but I was. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. There again. There.
I was, you know what, in fairness, I wasn't. I was being selfish. Yeah, I was saying, hey, it's me time. This is my time.
But, you know, that's the last time we'll mention his name today, unless you'll hear it in liners and things, and that's it.
But we are all happy to hear that Mark Ryan is recovering and he is doing well, and he will be back with us, if not next week early on. He'll definitely be on that pregame show for Clemson, Carolina over on the Planet next Saturday.
But in the end, that game last night, it ended up being a kind of a possible nail-biter at the end,
yeah.
Which I had started to turn away and was playing a game, and I have another TV in there and I had it on, so that's probably why I missed something. And I was like, and I was half asleep. I was like, wait a minute, did something just happen? And I hate that because you get lulled a little bit by defenses and things like that, and then you miss something like that, and I didn't get a chance to go back and check it out. But if I were picking that game last night, I would have picked Houston to win.
And what's crazy when you look at that game last night, too, is, well, first of all, I don't think any of us really expected the game to play out the way it did, being almost a defensive battle throughout, because we saw how easily diced the Texans' defense was by Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens just a week ago. So you came into this game thinking, you know, Jacoby Brissett could have a career night. This could be the Colts' coming out party, showing that, hey, just because our quarterback left at the beginning of the season, you know, you guys tried to forget about us. We're still here. But instead, the Texans' defense stood up, completely swarmed the Colts' offense throughout the game. It made people look uncomfortable. You had, you know, Jacoby Brissett was having to make plays with his legs, get out of the pocket and run and scramble and make first downs happen to keep the Colts in this thing. And that's not really the style of football they need to play to win football games up there.
Yeah, they were hyped and they were coming strong. I remember one point, because I was still here. I had to do some stuff. Yeah. And I looked up at the screen and I saw Jacoby Brissett laying there looking at them like, really? I didn't think you guys could do that. The camera just showed him laying on the ground looking up at the defense like, okay, that's how this is going to be today.
I mean, I think that shows a huge, huge, you know, facet to who the Texans are as a team, too. The fact that they can bounce back like that defensively, especially after getting just dismantled a week before, not even a week before, 5 days before on Sunday against the Ravens, 41-7. You know, Jackson just went off, did his thing, and completely annihilated that team. So, really good showing for the Texans. Deshaun Watson just continues to look like one of those superstar guys we're going to watch for quite a long time. He's so much fun to watch throw the football around and play quarterback. And then Nuke Hopkins, just wow. The guy, first of all, defensively, Colts, what are you doing? How many times was he open with about 10 yards of space around him?
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing.
That goes back to, like, what was it, 3 years ago? And bringing up the Patriots again, when the Steelers just decided not to cover Gronk and just let him run. And you're like, what were you thinking? Like, what did you watch this team play in the past and know who the best player is? Because for the Texans, it's Nuke Hopkins. You got to make sure that guy is not open, because even when he's not open, he'll make the catch.
Yeah, but in all fairness, it's hard to cover Gronk, period, no matter what kind of defense you have.
That is true.
We don't have to worry about him anymore, at least, at least for now. I mean, could they bring him back for the playoffs? I mean, possibly.
I mean, the Miami PD might want to worry about him with this Super Bowl party he's going to do down there. But first of all,
he's out dancing with the Lakers. He's doing all this other stuff, you know.
And he killed it, by the way.
It wasn't bad.
He
it definitely
nailed
was
that routine.
Bad.
I was pretty impressed with the big man's dance
and
skills.
And he
there.
Was glad to be there.
Yes, he was. But you can also see he's lost like 35, 40 pounds. Like, the guy is not the same monster he was when he was in playing shape.
I'm disappointed. I thought he'd be in the WWE already.
I did too. I kind of wanted him to maybe four-way, and I did it again 2 days in a row. I'm just going to ignore that word from now on. I wanted him to make that move
to
the
WWE.
Yeah. But
this is sports. We don't need big words.
I know. I worked with a newspaper writer for years. I just have them all in the back of my head. But, you know, it's interesting to see how that goes. But again, the big thing that we learned at the end of the football game last night, that not only were the Clemson players in Houston, obviously they were in Indianapolis last night, but playing for Houston, showing out. Nuke Hopkins thinks that his boys down here in Anderson are going to do the same thing, and he still thinks Clemson's going all the way.
Too much, but those guys know that they have to see us in the playoffs.
That's true. I mean, he's not wrong, but I wish he would have gone more of a, this committee's dumb, we're number one. I wanted that. I was really hoping for that when I saw the clip.
But in the end, you know, this is they are exactly where Dabo wants them. Yep. They're the underdog. They're not getting respected.
Oh, it's amazing.
So much fun. I think they did it on purpose just to help Dabo out.
It's amazing how much they keep handing him the little old Clemson when they're not little old Clemson anymore. But we'll talk about that a lot more later. Another story that's just continuing to go on and on and on in the football world is the Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph story. And I feel like it's kind of come to an end in my book after what we found out after our show yesterday. We'll get you caught up on all the craziness that continued after yesterday's show next here on the Diddy Takeover of Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No, I'm big time now. I've got to rejoin. Welcome back to the Diddy Takeover. Diddy, Lonzo, football all day. We've got Twitter polls up for you to go vote on. Get over to Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Our three polls for the day before we get into this continuation of the Myles Garrett saga. Poll number one, did the Colts get hosed? We just talked in the first segment about the fumble, if there was or was not a fumble. There was a fumble. I kind of side with the NFL. Don't think that there was any way to overturn that, even if you did look at it. It was tough to tell who ended up with the ball. It seems still loose as all the bodies kind of piled up. And the poll, absolutely or nope, 87%, nope, they did not get hosed. So the NFL apparently did right, according to our listeners. So far, Twitter poll number two is about this next segment. Who do you side with after the recent developments in the Myles Garrett saga? And by that, I mean, do you believe NFL and Mason Rudolph, that there was no epithet thrown, that there was nothing beyond the scene that we witnessed and the upholding of the penalty was correct? Or do you think Garrett is telling the truth and there should be further investigation? So far, 83% side with Rudolph in the NFL. Twitter poll three, what is the best matchup of the weekend? And we'll talk about this throughout the day. We're talking to Cole Bryson, the voice of the Burns Rebels here on ESPN Upstate, joins us at 2:20 to talk Burns Gaffney. That is on the poll and currently winning the poll, by the way. 33% of the vote going to Burns Gaffney. Huge game here in the Upstate. The other three on the poll, Penn State, Ohio State, which is probably getting Lonzo's vote, Cowboys versus Patriots, and Packers versus 49ers. There's also a Ravens-Rams games this weekend, and I know that, so before people get mad at me, there's four options on Twitter. You're not allowed to add more than that. If there was a fifth, Ravens-Rams. If you think Ravens-Rams is the best matchup of the weekend, just hit that little bubble and respond to us and tell us that's your pick. So as of right now, it's typical for what I expected of this region. It's high school college. You know, Burns Rebels versus Gaffney Indians is 33%. Penn State versus Ohio State is 30%. That's 1 and 2 on the poll. So you had to think high school, college. That is what we are here in South Carolina, especially Packers, Niners being the third on the vote. Cowboys, Pats. Maybe we're disproving Mark Ryan's theory that there's more Cowboys fans than we thought because they're not voting on the poll today.
Here's the thing, though. Can't you watch all of those?
No, I'm going to watch all of them.
I was going to say, can watch all of those.
So, Niners-Packers is Sunday night, right? Or it's Sunday afternoon. It's later than the Patriots.
I think it's the Sunday night game.
Yeah, so you have that, and those are different times. Obviously, Burns-Gaffney tonight. You can watch them all, but the question is, which one is the biggest? Which is the biggest to you personally as a football fan? And I'm just going to vote for you. I think it's obviously by your T-shirt. Ohio State welcoming in Penn State, trying to get on that playoff kick.
I'm worried. But, you know, I'm worried the rest of the way because, I mean, they've made it this far without having that stupid loss like they've done the last two years that have left them out of the playoff. So if they play the way that they played the rest this so far this season, I think we're okay. But I'm not going to be arrogant in anything like that. I'm going to wait till the game is over to be excited.
Well, I think the good thing to think about as a fan is the fact that those stupid losses come against garbage teams usually. Like, they're games they shouldn't lose.
And there's none of those left.
Yeah, they're all big games now, and they always end up stepping up and winning those. So
yeah, because Penn State's ranked, Michigan's ranked, and of course whoever they play in the championship will be ranked. So.
And that'll be interesting to see who ends up in that one as well. So, you know, Minnesota could sneak in there and who knows?
Or Wisconsin
comes back and tries to get some revenge. Who knows what goes on in the Big Ten? But that's going to be huge, and we'll talk about that later on, too. But into the NFL again. As we left the show yesterday, and me and Josh Phillips were talking into straight up in the first segment of that about this Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett situation, we saw the announcement, the breaking news yesterday that Myles Garrett's suspension has been upheld, Pouncey's has been reduced, and we're just moving forward. The NFL, after we got off the air, because we had heard the allegations that came out and everything else as far as Myles Garrett's appeals hearing, saying he heard an N-word said towards him from Rudolph, Rudolph denying, and everything else, the NFL about 4:15, 4:20 had said, we found no evidence of the like to prove that that is true, so end of story, game over. Obviously, it ends up still being the huge topic of the week because that's a massive story. And now it's almost worse of a massive story than it was before because if this is all true on the side of Mason Rudolph's denial, the NFL saying nothing happened, then Myles Garrett not only looks like a bad guy for what he did physically by ripping the helmet off and smashing it on his head, now he also looks like a bad guy for this, trying to come up with some excuse to excuse his behavior. He did go on Twitter and say it wasn't meant to be publicly disseminated. It wasn't meant to be an excuse for what I did. I take, you know, responsibility and all of that stuff. But it just still seems the timing makes it feel that way. And if the NFL is being truthful, which I just have a very hard time believing they're trying to hide something like this in the current climate of where they are and what they've dealt with, especially in this kind of a forum, that they would brush something like this under the rug. You know, it just seems like this would be a huge, huge scandal if it came out that the NFL just tried to say, oh, no big deal. And it came out that this was real. So it's hard for me to decide that. But everybody has their opinions, and people are going to decide whether they believe Garrett, whether they believe Rudolph. That's the poll on our Twitter feed right now. And we had responses yesterday. There were teams at practice. There was media there asking questions. And first, you got Cam Hayward. There's the Steelers lineman. He's defending his quarterback. He's got his quarterback's back, and he says he knows the truth here.
I know Mason didn't say it. You know, Mason came to me and told me he did not say it.
Were you guys aware that was a pot?
We found out today that it was going to, there was no talk of even saying it. Pouncey didn't bring it up. Dave didn't bring it up. I asked Mason right after the game what happened. How did it escalate that fast? He did not bring that up once.
So he believes him. He thinks that, you know, something would have been said before that probably. And then he went on to kind of take a jab at Garrett and call him out.
Personally, I went up to Mason right after the game and said, how did this escalate to that? And he told me, you know, he kept dragging him to the ground and, you know, they were going back and forth, but it never got to a racial slur. For it to be used in your appeal is just stupid to me. Own up to your mistakes and move on.
That's a pretty strong statement from Cam Hayward up there in Pittsburgh. But Odell Beckham Jr. doing what the teammates do. Obviously, we saw after the game last week, you know, these guys were all kind of piling on Garrett. You know, Baker Mayfield had his comments, and everybody else seemed to not have their teammates back. But ODB, he's got his teammates back right now.
I just don't see Myles as someone who would lie or do anything like that. So at this point, you know, it is what it is. And we're all just kind of waiting and just hope that, you know, justice is served or whatever the case is going to be for him.
And as is to be expected in the world of sports media, somebody did ask Myles Garrett if he had actually heard the word. And as usual, he gave us absolutely nothing.
Did Mason say something? Is that what started things?
They just got to go look at it. No, I'm not going to comment on it.
So he doesn't want to say it, but it has come out now. And he did, in turn, make comments about it on Twitter and wrote all those apologies saying, you know, it's not an excuse for how he acted and how he was unable to restrain himself, but he wanted it to be known and didn't think it would ever be public, but he should have known. Everybody should know these days, especially in the world of the NFL and any of these kinds of appeals hearings. Everything comes out. Whether it's true or not, we find out all these informations and all these sourced materials, and then finally, eventually, we get the truth later on. But to me, this is the part that kind of seals it. It's Adam Schefter on ESPN talking about how the NFL just couldn't find any evidence of the allegation.
The league went through the officials' report from that night. It looked over all the interviews that were done with the players that night. It looked at the video from that night to see if they could see anything and found no conclusion that Myles Garrett basically had that racial slur hurled at him that night. I think there are people within the Browns organization that believe that Mason Rudolph did say that. Mason Rudolph insists that he didn't say that. This is a classic case of he said, he said, but the league, in going through the evidence that it was made aware of, could not find any evidence that that racial slur took place last Thursday night.
And it's just crazy that it continues on right now. It's crazy that this story has just grown a whole new version of itself over the last 2 days, from the lie of an apology of Mason Rudolph, as we started the show talking about yesterday, to the end of yesterday's show at 4 o'clock. All of this coming out, and we're finding out the NFL had nothing. And it's hard for me to believe that there's not a way to find out if it happened by the NFL, because it's just what we know of what the NFL does with NFL films and all of the documentation of every single football game. This is something I've brought up numerous times in the past, obviously, you know, in defense of my favorite team and things like Deflategate and everything else. NFL Films has like everything mic'd, everything filmed, everything covered at all times. You watch any of these documentaries of old NFL Films movies, you can hear them talking. Those guys weren't mic'd up back in the 80s. So they have a way to get the sound. And I feel like there was some way for the NFL to look into this. And the fact that they were so quick to uphold the suspension and so quick to let the sources, you know, release the information to people like Adam Schefter that there was no evidence of this happening, it almost makes you have to start believing the NFL on this, because it seems like something they'd be able to figure out. The technology we have now, the microphones we have now, the sound capabilities we have now, I feel like you can pick it up. We hear almost everything they yell at each other at every snap. And then you come to something I saw this morning, watching the Get Up with Greenberg while I was prepping. And Jonathan Vilma and other football players are talking about how in their entire career, they never once heard that happen. And I feel like it's something, you know, it was almost like appalling to think, oh, did it ever happen to you guys? Or did you ever hear anybody? Like, oh, no, it never, not even in practice, never once, never. So why would it, you know, it feels almost less likely that it happened because of all this historical data you were getting. And it just never really happens. You want it to be not true because you don't want this to be a problem. You don't want this to be something that puts a stain on your sports, because you hope that these guys are all open and accepting and happy with each other as, you know, peers on the football field, that they're not going to call somebody that name, not use that word maliciously ever. But we do have information as well historically on the other end with a Riley Cooper video at a concert and other things that we've seen off the field. So It's exactly what Schefter said. It's he said, he said. It's are you going to believe Myles Garrett or are you going to believe Mason Rudolph? And it's, you know, always going to be something that, fair or not, will be talked about in at least a minor way and brought up in kind of a questioning of a character if anything ever comes up again for either of these guys. You know, if Myles Garrett gets in trouble again, it'll come up that he falsely accused. But if we have something come up where Mason Rudolph does something stupid, now all of a sudden we're going to start thinking, oh, he must have done it. So this whole situation kind of stinks because there's no real resolution. But I think overall, because of the NFL saying what they said, Schefter getting the information out and everything else, and the, you know, the suspension being upheld, that it's just kind of over now. I think we're finally to a point where we can close the book on the fight that happened a Thursday ago before yesterday. It's just done and we can move on from it. And I hope to God that we all do move on from it. Huge matchups, though, coming up this weekend. College football, pro football, and obviously tonight in high school football. But we want to talk college right now, because I got a man staring at me from behind the board wearing an Ohio State Buckeyes shirt. They're playing Penn State, and that's easily the biggest matchup we have tomorrow at noon. We'll talk about that and the rest of the football weekend coming up on Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's right, Mike Venditti, also known as Diddy in the Diddy Takeover. Go get on Twitter, follow us at ESPN Upstate, vote on today's daily polls about a few different things so far. Might add another one as we go on, talking about the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph situation. Which side are you on in the end? Also, another one about if the Colts were hosed last night by the refs or if you think that it was a fair win for the Houston Texans. And the third poll so far is the one we're going to get into a little bit right here. Which matchup this weekend to you is the best matchup of the weekend? Is it Burns versus Gaffney tonight right here on ESPN Upstate? Is it Ohio State, Penn State tomorrow at noon? Coverage at 11:30 right here on ESPN Upstate. Or is it the Pats, Cowboys, or the Packers, 49ers. You can also tweet at us and tell us it's Ravens, Rams if you want. That is the fifth option, but there's only four on Twitter. Twitter's really limiting us on these polls. I want more options.
So I have kind of a conundrum tomorrow because of work obligations.
Yeah.
I can't watch the game when it's live because I have to be somewhere, live somewhere. So do you look on your phone to keep track?
I probably shouldn't have told me this, though.
Yeah.
Because this could be a really fun opportunity for me to text you false reports and, like, bury you on how Penn State's up 35-0 in the first.
You could only get me once on that, and then I'll just
pull up ESPN.
Yeah, and find out the exact score. So
it's like, I just got an update that says Ohio State's up 50.
Yeah, so this is a big game. I realize how big of a game it is, but again, sometimes work obligations get in the way, and you have to do that. And so I'm trying to decide. And do you look at your phone? Do you care that much that you need to look at your phone to find out? Because if you look and it's bad, it's going to ruin what you're doing.
It is.
And in this case, it's a live appearance. So I don't want to be that guy like, what's wrong with him?
You know? And you're probably better at avoiding social media because you're probably not as, you know, obsessed and use it as a crutch like I do for life. So I think that's the problem for me. I can't.
A lot of people do that. So don't put yourself in a box. You're not the only one. Someone else who usually sits there.
Yeah, true.
He's constantly.
Well, he and I talk a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. See, Twitter for me is work.
Yeah.
And Facebook. Twitter for me is ESPN. Mm-hmm. Facebook is WORD.
That's fair.
So I try to keep them fairly separate.
I feel like Facebook is just Mike Venditti and Twitter is 24/7 sports talk conversation for me. So it's almost always work.
I am concerned about this game.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm going to try not to look.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can do that.
See, though. I wouldn't be able to. And I've done this before where I've not been able to watch a Carolina game, a Patriots game, you know, any kind of game that I want to watch. And it's, you know, you record it to watch it later. But I've gotten to a point where there's no way possible that I'm going to watch it later without already knowing what happened in the end. So I'm going to end up on Twitter. Somebody's going to tweet at me. Somebody's going to text me telling me something that happened. Somebody's going to ruin it in some way. So I'm not going to fight knowing. And it's not going to change the fact that I'm going to go back and watch it later. It's just, I feel like we've gotten to a part of life in our culture that it's impossible almost.
But there are two people that I know that if Ohio State is losing or getting their butts beat, will text me.
Well, and here's the problem too. Are you going to be wearing any Ohio State gear at this event?
No.
Okay, so maybe you'll be all right.
Because it's a nerd event.
Oh, yeah.
So I will be dressed.
But there are Ohio State fans.
Just like myself. And I also am going as an official capacity, so I will be wearing a station shirt. So
well, Ohio State fans are everywhere. And I feel like if you had an Ohio State shirt on and somebody saw you and knew what was going on, they'd be like, hell yeah, we're beating them up, guy.
Or
like,
the, no, or no, they would look and just shake their head.
Or be like, oh, rough day.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Huh? Also, as a Gamecock fan, I know that
one. Yeah, I've done
I know that,
that
one. I've seen that one, shaking of the head, or like you're really wearing that out, that type of thing.
I make the mistake of being so loyal that I wear my Gamecock stuff to go bartend at the brewery, and I'm there till the end of the night. So, you know, after they already lost to App State, I'm still behind the bar with a Gamecock hat on and t-shirt, and everybody that comes in goes, oh man. I'm like, yeah, I know, thanks, appreciate that. But Ohio State, Penn State, obviously, I mean, unless there's upsets this weekend, this is the biggest game with playoff implications of this Saturday. And we talked about it last segment a little bit with Ohio State, that this is a huge three-game stretch to even get to the playoff, because you got Penn State, then you got Michigan, and then you got a Big Ten championship game. And if you get through all of that gauntlet, you're there. But you know, this team has looked next level. They've looked like, you know, we agreed, I think, yesterday that them and Clemson are the 1-2. Whether you want to put Ohio State on top or Clemson on top is debatable, but they're the two clear-cut, I think, favorites as far as what we've seen on the field, both offensively and defensively, and their ability to just house people left and right every time they're out there on the field. So this game should be a ton of fun.
If you're Ohio State, I like the chaos. I can understand why you'd want the upset, but if you're Ohio State, the playoffs start tomorrow.
Yeah, the playoffs do start tomorrow for Ohio State, for sure.
And I'm sure that Ryan Day and the rest of the coaching staff are preaching that to them. Hey, the playoffs start tomorrow. You get Chase Young back. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, he's awesome. You know, when he was going to transfer, I'm like, because I remember when the transfer portal first started and telling Greg McKinney that this is going to be free agency, and he's like, no, it's not. I'm like, this is going to be, and it is. It's free agency. Yeah. It is. So then, if you're against this, how can you cheer for the person who come and made your team better?
Exactly.
But I am, you know. Yeah. So I don't like the transfer portal, but it is making my team better.
Yeah.
But they have a history of getting pretty good quarterbacks. And look, Justin Fields came, and Joe Burrow left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look what he did.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is pretty good at LSU. So
he's doing all right.
I this game scares me. That's why I'm afraid to even talk about it.
Well, and that's fair. And like I said, as a conscientious objector, you know, I don't care about either of these teams. This isn't a game that I have any skin in. So, you know, as a fan of football, you want to see chaos. You want to see a little bit of craziness, especially, you know, when none of your teams are involved in any of it. But I find it hard to believe there will be, because of the fact, first of all, this game being in the Horseshoe is a big deal for Ohio State. Home game this week against Penn State. And, you know, as much as Penn State has been very good this year and we've seen them get some big wins, I also do not think that they're anywhere close to what Ohio State is on the field right now. I don't think there's even, you know, the same stratosphere for these two teams as far as their ability to play football. But it's college football. Any given Sunday translates into college football on Saturday, and
South Carolina can beat Georgia.
Yeah,
I mean, things like that can happen.
Yeah. And if South Carolina can beat Georgia, then this Penn State team could, in fact, possibly upset the really, really good Ohio State. But, you know, this, I think, is the biggest game until the playoff for Ohio State. I feel like if Ohio State does take this down, especially if they kind of boat race them like they did with a couple of their big opponents in the past this season already, then I don't see any way they lose the next 2 weeks going into the playoff, because this really, for me, is their last big test. And I really cannot see how a committee, if they win this one, doesn't put them up to number one next week.
See, my concern, I mean, I believe the same things that you're saying, but there's always a chance of injury.
There is.
You know, always. Justin Fields goes down, yeah. then you've got some problems. Yeah, they still have J.K. Dobbins. His running back's good. The offensive line's good. They're good across the board,
yeah.
But I'm not so sure about the backup quarterback coming in and winning a game of this caliber. But there again, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Cardale Jones still there?
No, he's okay. Not.
Just
he's bounced around. Cardale Jones, I believe, is going to be a starter in the XFL.
XFL guy. Yeah. He actually kind of fits that mold, I think.
He does.
I think that would work. Yeah, so this is the big one, and again, you can hear every second of that game tomorrow right here on ESPN.
See,
Upstate.
You talked about that's a big game, but I want to tell you the other games that we have on tomorrow because I don't think we do this enough. After that Ohio State-Penn State game, which starts at 11:30, we have the Georgia-Texas A&M game, which shouldn't be a game, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. And then we have Oklahoma-TCU, which could possibly be a pretty good game. But again, the best game tomorrow will be that first game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's on the poll. Again, go vote on that poll at ESPN Upstate on Twitter. And we're gonna move back into the NFL. Another new member of the Madden 99 Club, and he's very familiar to all of your hearts. I'll tell you who it is next on ESPN Upstate. Get in on the action. You can give us a call at 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307, starting the message with ESPN, and we'll read it live, or you can get us on Twitter at ESPN. That's also where you find our Twitter polls. We've got a huge announcement in the video game / football world coming out. Should we do the breaking news for this one, or is this not breaking news? Is this not?
It happened yesterday.
Oh, darn.
We just haven't talked about it.
We haven't talked about it yet, but I found it today. It was on an article that was posted this morning, or maybe last night. But there's a new Madden 99 Club member, and he's right up the road. Mr. CMC himself, Christian McCaffrey, has become the youngest to join the Madden 99 Club. For the non-video game people out there, people who aren't familiar with Madden, the 99 Club are people in the game that obtain a 99 rating, a basically perfect rating. There are no 100s in the rating system. 99 is basically you can do anything you want with that player in the game and he'll score probably. Back when it first started, I think, was Vic the first 99, I think? And you could run basically backwards and then run around everybody and then score. It was just asinine when you had Vic on that game. But now there's a lot more 99s, so people can kind of, you have a 99 on defense that can chase them down probably. But huge, huge honor for the 23-year-old McCaffrey. I mean, this kid has taken the league by storm. He's over 1,000 yards already with 5 games to go rushing. I mean, he only needs 500 passing receiving yards to get that 1,000, which could be massive. That's a legendary group to be in, but I think it's huge. I mean, other running backs have been Barry Sanders, Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson. There's, you know, those are big names that CMC already at 23 years old is in the company of in the video game world. And Madden really is like the life force behind football after all these years, it feels like. Like everybody almost gets Madden to preview their season.
And the street cred you have as a player.
Oh, my goodness.
When you get, I mean, if you saw the video and saw how excited he was to get the trophy
stoked.
And everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine what it, no, I can't imagine what that would be like.
No, I couldn't. I would be like a 20 rating.
Although, you know, in your specific career, listener,
yeah.
Or, you know, are you a 99 at your job? I mean, you know, I got to think that I'm up there some days.
I feel like I strive to be.
Yeah, maybe not every day. maybe not today because I'm almost on vacation. But, you know, most days I believe I'm at least in the 90s.
If I'm really on my game, I feel like I'm close. Yeah, I got to be up there somewhere. But, you know, it depends on which part of my career you're talking about, too. Is it this, the guest hosting? Is it, you know, production?
There
is
you
it
go.
Bartending? Yeah. Is it, you know, everything else?
Well, I think it's a lesson in life. We should all strive to be the 99 in everything we do. And some of us get there and some of us don't, but as long as we're striving.
Yeah.
But it's good that he made it so early, and he deserves it.
And you're
right, those names that
those
he's mentioned.
That's just the running backs. Those are just the running backs that have had 99s. And he jumped 8 points. He was a 91 to start this season. He was a 91 coming into the year, and his season has been such epic proportion that he is now a 99. He did talk to the team website about it when they gave him the trophy. He said, it means a lot. It's really cool. I played Madden my whole life. Getting a 99 to be in that company means a lot. It's very humbling. Of course. I mean, like, his dad wasn't a 99. I don't know if there was one yet when his dad played, though. But he was a 99 as far as catching the ball and getting murdered over
Madden
the
middle. Madden was around then, but I'm not sure.
I don't think they had a 99 yet. Yeah, I don't think, because Madden, I was playing Madden on Sega in the early 90s. It was the most awful game when you think back to how bad the graphics were.
Not as bad as Atari football.
Oh, Atari football was real bad. Yeah, that one was really, really bad. But, you know, huge things. And I mean, you know, Cam hasn't even been a 99. So I guess the most important player on the team.
That may never be again.
Is still. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey. I think I said that before the season. Again, 500 yards from a 1,000 season. That's huge. So much more to get to. So much more football to talk about again in just about 20 or so minutes. Cole Bryson joins us to talk Burns and Gaffney. We've got more football to cover. More nonsense about Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. All of that coming up in the next 2 hours of Offsides, the Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.